Hi there, and welcome back to another episode of Habits into Health. This is Michael Ann Conley. I am a habit change coach, a holistic therapist, and I host this podcast show. We are all about turning around habits that don't serve you, and that includes how you deal with someone else and their problem habit. If you're stuck in your own issues, or you care about somebody else whose habit is creating problems, then this show is for you. It's going to help you connect information and action in a new way. First of all, Habits into Health is about any habit. Our focus is on what do all habits have in common, and that involves habits that hide underneath the situation that may have brought you here to listen today. These hidden habits are an invisible layer that block you from creating the life that you want. And one of the things we do here is help you make those invisible layers visible. We do that with a holistic perspective, and it takes you beneath the willpower methods that are very common out there. They focus on insight, which is great, and action, much of which is good, but they don't often create the peace that you want for yourself. In every episode here, you will be practicing for yourself new attitudes and skills that I've learned over the years, and I pass on to my clients, and now I share them more widely through this podcast. I really love doing that. It's really exciting. The last few episodes, we've been talking about relationship habits that are one up, one down, mostly with the focus on one side or the other. Today's topic is about the impact the one up, one down aspect has on a relationship overall. Before we go forward, we'll start with our habits into health practice. And this is designed to help you build your internal guidance skills so that you can increase your awareness of subtle patterns in yourself. And that's because insight and action are just not enough to create change. The best place to start taking charge of your own changes is to build skills in self-contact and self-influence. So let's begin. We've been working recently very directly with the relationship between thoughts and behavior. So for today, let's have you think about what's going on right now. Whatever it is that's on your mind, as the saying goes. What's on your mind now, in this moment? It doesn't matter what it is. You could be thinking about something from the past. You could be thinking about the report that you have to do later today, or when you're going to pick up the kids from school, or what's going to be done about dinner. Might be who you're going to be around today, or who is in your presence right now. You might be sitting in a park or riding your bike. Just let yourself focus on the mental aspect of noticing this. As you're thinking about this, what we do is let your attention shift to what you are experiencing as you think. And this is going on whether you're aware of it or not. So what we do in Habits into Health is heighten your awareness of what you're doing when this activity of thinking is going on. And for starters, I usually like to orient people first towards your senses. So be attentive to the sense of sound. Since you're hearing my voice, just become aware of your ears, what's happening around your ears, and also about what's going on inside your own head, around your own thoughts. Another thing you could notice is the sense of touch. So become aware, say if you're walking, how your feet feel as they touch the ground. Or if you're riding that bike, what it's like to have your hands on the handles. If you're sitting, just be aware of your sits bones. Or if you're lying down, just notice the parts of you that are touching the bed, the floor, the couch. You might tune in to the sense of smell. As you are thinking, notice what you smell. And then, of course, you can tune in to what you're seeing. Who's around you? What's around you? Animal, vegetable, mineral. Like an old school game that I used to play as a child. All of these are physical senses, and we tend to know that. But it's so interesting that we put them in the background to bring forward the activity that we call thought. Now, let's make another shift. We've already done it somewhat in terms of being attentive to where you experience yourself as you think. But this is going to be a little bit more subtle. So if you're listening and you're focusing on your ears, let your sense of what's going on around your ears. That includes, potentially, the senses of your jaw and around your mouth. So then that can bring in the sense of taste. You might roll some saliva around inside your mouth and swallow, and then feel the sense of your saliva going down your throat. If you're aware of the sense of smell, and as you breathe in and out, become aware, more deliberately, of the movement that's happening in your chest or your belly, sides of your trunk, or your back, and anything else that moves as you breathe. If your attention has been on your sense of sight, of what you're seeing, notice the movement of your eyes as you look. Become aware of how you use the muscles around your eyes to see. Seeing isn't just with the receptors inside your eyes. You use muscles in order to see as well. You can practice that by looking very, very sharply or very, very clearly at something. Focus your attention, perhaps in the distance or something close. And then soften your gaze and notice what happens muscularly around your eyes. The point is that all of you is engaged in some way when you do this activity that you call thinking, that we all call thinking. And there are muscular patterns of action that are associated with that. This involves movement in you as you think, also changes in you chemically and hormonally, neurologically, and all of these things are physical. Recognizing your physical experiences of thinking isn't just an interesting exercise. It's very practical, because when it comes to habit change, what we come to understand is that most habits begin before we're thinking at all. So that's why I say the more you give to this practice, the more it gives back to you. Because developing your capacity to recognize your own experience, the experience that happens underneath thought, is a very big first step in creating any changes you want to make, whether it's about a habit or not. And even if you can only practice this very briefly, or for a few minutes, at that time, you are taking charge of your own changes. It is a practice. And I also say practice creates progress. And this allows you to begin to let the body lead, so that your mind doesn't have to be in charge so much of the time. Let the mind be a partner in being you. Now, if you find this experience interesting, come on over to habitsintohealth.com and you can tune into more. My name is Michael Ann Conley and I host this show and all of the Habits Into Health programs. I offer this podcast as a gift. I also have another gift. You can learn more through my free ebook, and it's called Do You Have a Habit or Does Your Habit Have You? And it includes 5 warning signs that you're stuck and what you can do about it. If you want to get the ebook, go to habitsintohealth.com and in the right sidebar, fill in your name and email address and I'll send it to you. You can also check out other podcasts if you like. Or if you want to find podcasts really easily, you can search on iTunes for Habits Into Health, and you can subscribe to get this podcast regularly. You can also like Habits Into Health on Facebook or Twitter, and you'll get notices as well. I have a couple of things that I want to let you know about. First is I'll be offering a free introductory teleseminar called 5 Steps to the New You on May the 31st, 2014. That's a Saturday. And one thing I'll be talking about is the whole process of why getting rid of a behavior that's bothering you is more likely to keep it around. It tends to backfire. And also that there are other approaches to making the journey that you're on a little bit more of a healing journey, a little bit more peaceful and kind and not so stressed and pressured. If you happen to be in the San Francisco Bay Area or you happen to be traveling here and you want to experience the Habits Into Health practices in person, I have some ongoing events here. On the third Tuesday of the month, the 15th of April, I'm going to host our next one-hour mini-retreat for men and women. And then on Saturday, May the 3rd, I am hosting a half-a-day retreat in the Five Steps to the New You. It combines the information that's in the teleseries, but it's an opportunity to have a private experience of the practical methods that I teach and give yourself a profound experience of the impact it can have in helping you stop the drain of the energy and the pressures that block you from taking your life in the direction you want to go. The best way to learn more about all of these is to go to the website, enter your name and email address. This will give you the good news from my ebook, and I'll be able to keep you up to date with all of the events that are going on. Let's discuss our topic. Lately, we've been exploring the one-up, one-down pattern that many of us get stuck in, especially when it comes to our relationships. If you're in a situation with another person that is a one-up, one-down style, nobody wins. Even though it may seem like the one who controls the energy and the flow and your activities wins, in fact, they don't win either. And if you are that person, you're not winning. This even includes relationships where there's an expected difference of roles, like a boss, an employee, or a supervisor, supervisee, where one person has a level of greater power in an organizational way. And here's why. The one-up, one-down dynamic has more to do with the way you treat people and how you accept being treated. So let's look at a work scenario. A boss or a supervisor has a say in the job performance of people they hire or supervise. So you can put yourself in that position, whichever one is true for you, or maybe both are true for you in one way or another. But in having this say in the job performance, you don't have to play one up, putting the other in a one-down position. You can treat your employees or your supervisees with dignity and respect as a human being. And it actually usually results in better morale and job performance. Skillful bosses and supervisors know this. Now, obviously, the person who's being supervised has agreed to meet certain expectations of the job they've taken on. And it may seem obvious that acting one up is going to lead to nowhere fast, because that's like having having a chip on your shoulder where you've got an attitude. So think about your role in this position. The thing is that playing one down doesn't work either. And that's where you might be acting poor me or incompetent or put yourself down if you don't do a task well, apologizing too much. And that doesn't tend to attract respect from your coworkers or your supervisors. Another area where it may seem natural for a one-up, one-down is with parents and children. But I can tell you, in the field of family therapy, where I've worked for a long time, it's pretty much agreed that the authoritarian style of parenting creates more problems than it resolves. The authoritarian parent acts like a dictator, which actually ends up subduing younger children. They may look like they're minding, but they're really being subdued. And then they become either compliant or defiant teens. Those are two extremes that set them up to have difficulties in adulthood when they're at work in a situation where someone has power or authority over them. They can either become too passive, or maybe they appear friendly while hiding their real feelings, or just be openly rejecting, have that attitude. If you're an adult where some of these kinds of things are happening, you might look back to your parents' parenting style. And if they were bossy and authoritarian, if they bullied you, or if any adult bullied you, maybe you developed this particular style in adulthood as a result of that. Now, let's look at how it shows up in adult relationships. The one-up, one-down dynamic occurs when one person dominates and the other is subdued or acquiesces. As a pattern in the relationship, because domination doesn't tend to happen in a vacuum, and neither does acquiescence. This is different than having an understanding that in your relationship, one person might be more equipped to manage certain things or take care of certain things, and the other will take the lead in other activities. Negotiating differences in your skills and your styles is an ordinary and expected part of any relationship. But when one person takes charge as a pattern and the other person follows that as a pattern, it tends to be problematic. In fact, most relationships have differences, and it's very rare that people don't argue. Maybe there are situations where a couple gets along extremely well and doesn't fight. In my experience as a therapist, one or two things is happening. Either, one, they are very effective in negotiating their differences so that they don't have to fight, or two, one of them dominates and the other gives up and doesn't create a fight, doesn't fight back. So if one person has to be the ruler, then the only role for another is to be a follower. You either be a follower or you leave. If one person has to be a follower, the only role for another is to be a ruler. You choose to take charge or you leave. To say it in another way, if you need to control a relationship, then the only people who will stick around will be those who accept being controlled. People who prefer to negotiate differences and decisions will grow weary of your controlling style, so they'll exit. And if they don't exit physically, they'll exit energetically. They'll stop playing. If you habitually play down, then guess what? The only people who will stick around are those who want to play up. They need someone to be better than, and you fit the bill. People who want to be reciprocal in their relationships don't always want to run the show, and they will grow tired of your passivity, and they will make themselves scarce. If they don't do that physically, meaning if they stay in the relationship on a physical level, they will energetically disappear. Their morale will shift, they'll stop caring, and they'll withdraw. So if you're in a relationship like this, the first thing is to look at your own behavior. It's so much easier to look at what the other person is doing. But things don't happen in a vacuum, like I said. So you might check out whether you have established a pattern in your relationships that pushes other people away because you try to control so much. You take charge all the time, or take the lead and don't let other people lead. Or you may push other people away because you do the opposite as an extreme pattern. The other thing that might show up is that you don't just do it in one relationship, but it shows up in your friendships, it shows up in family, it shows up in other places. So you might check it out in general. So that's the first step. Just begin to look at how you deal as a pattern in your relationships with others. Next time we'll tie this into the larger series that we've been doing over the last few months. And that is how this one-up, one-down dynamic is a part of a bigger field of action that I call keeping your side of the street clean. For now, I'm going to sign off. And you know, if you have a habit, whether it's one-up, one-down, or another kind of habit that is creating problems for you, or if someone you know has a problem habit, then come to habitsintohealth.com, request my free ebook. It'll help you clarify the issues that you're dealing with. You can also find other podcasts, articles, and resources on the website. I always like to end by saying, start small and be kind to yourself along the way. You've been listening to Habits Into Health, and this is Michael Ann Conley. I'm here to help you stop feeling out of control over unhealthy habits, to stop wondering what you're doing wrong or what's wrong with you, and to start creating the life where you're in charge of your habits rather than the other way around. Thanks so much for joining me.